Heart and Mind Premarital desires to help couples prepare and navigate their engagement and marriage through encouraging loving actions, providing perspective and hope through others' true love stories and experiences. We hope you enjoy it. Obviously, you guys are together. So how did that come about where, you know, how long were you guys?
Because right now there's the flatlining that, you know, what happened during that, you know, just that flatlining period and then what caused the clear douche, you know, so what happened during that period where you are just friends?
Oh boy.
Well, there was,
and you know, folks, I know I was kind of like hitting the cliche of let's be friends, but for you guys, that really was the case.
Yeah, it sounds like you really but did mean that.
It mm-hmm. also sounds like it wasn't easy to go from dating to friends.
Mm-mm. Well, I think there was like a month where we didn't really see each other.
Yeah, well, I don't even remember how long, but I made it impossible for him. He would come over and I was like, leave.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nope.
Like, I was really sad and then I was really mad that I was sad. So then I projected that onto him because I was like, well, it's your fault. I don't know why this happened, but like, I took a very angry approach.
And Jake, yeah. You know, he's coming over. Because he also is friends with your brothers and mm-hmm. your other siblings.
They were traitors.
I didn't mean to get you guys in trouble, but but you know what I'm saying. You're connected to each other's families, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. in a lot of ways. So
and one reason why Maya mentioned when we did break up that I kind of kept it together, and one main reason why is because I thoroughly convinced myself that I was going to get her back.
Oh.
I wanted to so badly. And it's funny because it took me breaking up with her to realize that.
Hmm.
But I decided that night when we were going to, that I was going to get her back. So I could break up with her because it was only going to be temporary.
Which, I'll be honest, it shocked me because I remember having conversations with others where I'm like, all right, I'm going to take him out. Let's make sure he's okay. I want to make sure things are he can process through this. And it was the same thing. It was like there was no tears. There was no lamenting. And you looked me – I'll be honest, it was the first time that I saw you as a man because you looked me straight in the eye and go, story's not over yet, Joe. I'm going to get her back. And you meant it. And I was all – now, part of me was like, good luck, you know, you know, inside I was kind of saying, I'm like, good luck, you know,
yeah.
you know, but at the same time, I was impressed with the determination, you know, on that. But it's not like it happened overnight either.
Not at all. Well, and like you mentioned that I would hang out with her brothers and her family, and we had been dating for 6 years and I loved her family so much. They were a part of me at that point. And I took full advantage of that fact. And when we were broken up, her parents made it very clear that I was still welcome. So I was like, okay. but
if you insist.
But I would, in my head, I wanted to relearn how to be friends. And so when we had initially broken up in those first months, I would give as much space as I could, but still be around in the background.
So when you would be there.
How was that, Maya?
Yeah.
I was not happy about it at all. I was like, you need to leave. I don't know what you think this is. Goodbye. I actually got so mad at it that I went on a date while he was there.
Really?
That's so great.
That poor fool.
And that was fun because he definitely watched. Jacob was at my door while I was walking out to the car.
Did I care?
No, which even made me more mad. And I was like, I'm literally going on a date.
And you're staring.
And you're staring
at me. Jake's like, have fun. He goes like, here, let me take a light off your shoulders.
And then he was there when I came home, too.
Here's a couple, here's 20 bucks. I hope you have a good night.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I was livid. Yeah.
How did that date go?
I did not want to be there. I felt so bad. He was so nice, but I was like, I was so mad at Jake, but I wanted to be home because I knew that Jake was at my house, which pissed me off even more.
Because you realized that you still cared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I would rather be at home and mad that he's there than be away, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. And I would give her, in like before when we were dating, when we should have broken up, it would be like we would spend time together, or I would send her a text because I felt obligation. Mm-hmm. Whereas now that we're broken up, if she doesn't want to text me back, don't text me back. If I don't call her goodnight, like, obviously, that there's no pressure. There was no pressure anymore. And I could give her the distance that she needed because it was... it made sense. And I think that we both needed to have space in order to kind of re-recognize what we were feeling.
It sounds like you guys had space, but at the same time, you were still in each other's background, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you definitely took like any advantage to when I was willing to talk. And then he would lay it on thick.
Like, what do you mean by that?
Like, I would, like, let's say, I don't even know, like, we had a really good day or something, or, like, I wasn't sassy that day. And he would definitely be, like, I don't even know how
Johnny
to.
Johnny on the spot.
Seriously, though, like, he would be super sweet, he'd do something super cute, and then he'd kiss me, and I'm like, whoa, no.
You still snuck in a friendship kiss.
This means nothing. But do it again. Just kidding.
And that was in the later months. That was in the later months. We were broken up for 4 months, right?
Yeah.
We were broken up for 4 months. Okay, that was like the last couple of weeks when I was being a little more forward.
That was like the last 2 months.
But I oh, Lord.
So it almost sounds like you were trying, you had to almost relearn to be friends again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And almost re-go through the process of meet, be friends, become a little more than friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like you had to reset all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I think the first time I actually opened up, because I was always like running from this to this to this, and he'd be like, do you want a massage? Do you want me? And I was like, no, get away from me. And then one time I was like, I really do, though. And I think I was like, can I just like lean on you? And that was like
I was like, yes.
And I think that was like the first time that I was like, we weren't together, but I just felt super comfortable. Well, again. Obviously, like, yeah, like, obviously I felt comfortable with him, but, like.
But comfortable again to the point where you're like, okay, I feel like I could actually lean on him.
Yeah.
Because up until that point, we were, I would always just watch for opportunities where I could be her friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or where I could help her in some way. And I would try and be there when opportunities would come up. Like if she were to come home from a long day of school, I would want to be there.
You'd bring
not
food.
Every day, or I would be there to cheer her up in some way, or to just shoot her a text, say, I hope you're doing well. And that was a part of the, I would give her the distance that she needed, but try and be there for her as much as I could, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you have anybody helping you kind of navigate that whole, like, okay, let's try to be friends again? Like, did you have anybody, like, in your life kind of speaking into that?
I definitely got a lot of counsel from, I remember talking to Joe several times. Mm-hmm. We would have talks about what game plan should be.
Or for those of you guys who cannot see this, she is crinkling her nose and giving me the stink eye.
And yeah, there were definitely people that I would go to and ask advice for.
There was definitely other men in your life that mm-hmm. were speaking in.
Yeah, most definitely.
How did that help?
Well, I would always love the perspective because I was very determined. Mm-hmm. I knew what I want. But there was a period of time right when we first broke up where I wanted to make sure. And so I think there was a period of time where I just played with the idea. I'm like, okay, life without Maya, what is that like? And I try not to think about her. I try not to text her. And I was like, I don't like this. this is terrible. And I was like, okay, yeah, I know what I want. And then I didn't.
You knew she was your person.
Yeah. I was very determined.
I remember when we were in, like, the rough patch, it felt like walking on eggshells. Mm-hmm. And so, like he said, he overthought everything. And I was, like, I could tell just by, because, like, I know him. Mm-hmm. I knew him, like, the back of my hand. And I, like, everything felt unauthentic, unreal. Like, we couldn't argue about anything. We couldn't talk about anything because I felt like he was just going to say something to make sure that it was what I wanted to hear. But I'm like, no, argue with me. Mm-hmm. Like, I want something from you that's not just what you think I want to hear. And I remember when we were broken up, that did change. And you were authentic to what you felt. And if I was being a brat, you would tell me.
Yeah. And well, one of the main things that I was always afraid of was confrontation.
Yeah.
And I viewed confrontation as, like, the end all, everything. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to handle it at all. And so whenever we would meet with each other, I would think through everything I was doing to avoid confrontation because I thought it was the worst thing ever. but when we were broken up, there was no expectation to avoid that anymore. And so I was like, all right.
I know. It was like, look who you just met. And I'm like, it's you.
It's a totally different person than I did before.
Like, but it's what I wanted, though. Like, right. It's what I needed.
I needed to just be me instead of trying to be who I thought she wanted me to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was very important.
Yeah.
So you had this 4 months of breakup. Last 2 months, friendship kind of sparked back up. Who was it that said, let's give this another go, officially?
Okay, so we had gotten, I mean, I would say, okay, so we kind of got back together, but without saying anything. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely, like, our emotions had changed, and we were in a different place, but nothing was said again. Mm-hmm. And then we were driving, and I remember, what did you say? You said something. I don't even know.
So, I never wanted to do anything that she didn't want me to do. So, like, for texting example, I didn't want to text her unless she wanted me to text her. Mm. I didn't want to hang out with her unless she wanted me to hang out with her. That didn't mean I wouldn't hang out with her brothers at her house, because I would do that.
And then he'd just come over, knock on my door.
Yes, naturally. But at that point, I remember we were driving, and I think you wanted to hold my hand. And I said, boyfriends and girlfriends, hold hands, not friends.
Not even. Nice. I do not remember that.
No? How do you remember it?
I remember you making some comment, and I told you, no, we're not dating. You have to ask my dad again for permission. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
So maybe that was the comment with boyfriend or girlfriend.
I do remember that. Yep. Yeah.
Did I make you actually?
No, I did not know this. Did you actually have to re-ask him?
No, because we were adults.
I'm an adult now. I'm not junior high.
I just wanted to see what he said. Oh, no. I made that comment. And that was just me being sassy. And then I told him that he has to ask me, though, if I'll be his girlfriend, because he hasn't asked me. So I was like, no. You never asked, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then he did ask me, and I said yes.
And we're like, woo, pop the confetti.
Yeah.
You did it, Jacob.
You didn't, like, light a cigar and go, I love it when a plan comes together. A little pop culture reference for all my Gen Xers.
Oh, Lord.
All
right.
Did we even tell people? I think we just...
Oh, yeah, we just came home. We were all giggly and happy.
Well, even, like, our friends, they were like, oh, my God. Do we need to go? Like, I remember a couple of my friends being like, do I need to save her? Like, because they just didn't know.
Right. Yeah.
It was funny.
It's like, he's all over her. Why is she?
You know? Like, they thought why I needed to be, like, rescued.
Mm-hmm. I remember we had just started dating again, and there was the Spartan race. And a lot of our people from church were there as well. And Maya was about to... I was not running in the race.
We had bought the tickets before we got
together. Yeah, that's another funny part. They had planned to do the Spartan race, and we weren't together, so I didn't plan on doing it with her. But I did end up going and watching, because we were back together again. And so I went to watch, and I remember getting there, the race is about to start, and I asked if Maya was there, and then I ran down... And I ran up to the line, and I gave her a kiss. And all the people that didn't know we were dating suddenly knew we were dating again.
Yeah.
And it was...
They're like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Lost a couple of seconds off their time.
Yeah, it was
trying
funny.
To figure this out.
But, yeah.
So you're now back together.
Yes.
How long were you dating until you decided to say, you know, I'm going to marry this girl?
Well, as soon as I had come to the... point where I was like, I'm going to marry this girl. If we get back together, Lord, I'm going to marry this girl. And so as soon as we started to date, I knew I was going to marry her. And I think she was in the same place as well.
Well, I told you, like, don't waste my time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I wanted to, like, get married right out of high school. Again, unrealistic because we've spent the last 2 years
fighting.
But I told him, like, don't waste my time if you're not serious about me.
There was very clear expectations and communication to the fact that Maya, she's not going to date unless it's serious. And I knew that.
And did you tell her, like, I'm planning on marrying you?
Yeah.
And you're I was like, I'm planning on it. I'm waiting.
Yeah, and then, oh my gosh, that was another thing. As soon as, I think it was like a month or a couple weeks after we got back together, I ordered a ring, and this stupid thing took so long to get to me, and it's kind of a funny story. I can tell it really quick if you
tell
don't
it because I would imagine she's like, why isn't he asking me?
So stupid. But I ordered this thing online, and it was this gorgeous ring. I loved the heck out of it, and I ordered it, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and, like, I can't remember exactly how long.
It was a couple months.
Yeah, it was a while, and on the FedEx thing, it was, like, it has arrived. I'm like, it hasn't arrived. No, it's not. And so I had to go down to the FedEx, oh my gosh, what do you even call it? The office. What is it?
Yeah, the warehouse.
FedEx shipment place, yeah.
Yeah, I went to FedEx and I asked them, because I was able to track down through the links and the websites where it had arrived. And so I went there, and this was the height of COVID. And so everyone was masked up, and people were starting to open up again. And so we were allowed to go into the FedEx again. But I go in, and I remember asking them for my package, and they like go and whisper to each other like for a little bit, and they get like this piece of paper. And I remember watching what they were writing, and they wrote COVID on it. And then they like, oh, here's your package. And they slide it across the table. This thing was like in another like plastic bag.
It was so ratchet.
And the inner bag, the FedEx bag was like,
it was wet.
Discolored. It was wet.
Oh,
it was so disgusting looking. And, I was so afraid that the ring was like dead.
The bag was ripped open.
It was so bad. I didn't know what to think, but they just like, here you go. And the only thing that the package said, it was like, we apologize for how your package got to you. And I was like, first of all, it never got to me, but that all I got was a sticker that said, I'm sorry. And that's it. But luckily the ring was fine. There was no problems with it. It was untouched. The bag just looked absolutely horrendous.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, it was so terrible getting it.
I was so like antsy on when he was, I was like, okay, we talked. Next week you should have been proposing. Like, I'm just so ready. I was like, come on. And he definitely took advantage of trying to psych me out. He fake proposed so many times. And I was so sick of it. I remember one time we went to Sedona. Oh my gosh, this is the one I was like, okay, I gotta wear cute hiking clothes because, you know, it's probably gonna happen today. And then we go on this hike. He packs a picnic, everything. We're in this valley. It was like we hiked for a good long time. He sets up the picnic. We're on this big rock. And he's like,
very pretty.
It was so beautiful. Oh my gosh. I was like, heck yeah, I knew it. And then he gets on one knee and he was like, Maya, and he's like telling me how much he loves me. I'm like, oh, this is so sweet. And then he's like, I have a question to ask you. And he grabs something from his back pocket and he was like, will you play cards with me? And he pulls out a deck of cards. Oh, Joe, there were people on the area with us, and I was so embarrassed. I was like,
probably like filming it, taking pictures, thinking it's gonna.
I was just like, get away from me. I cannot. Like, you're such a punk. And he's like, you really think that you told me something about how I wasn't gonna know when you were gonna propose, like that I was gonna be surprised or something.
I was inspired by my brother-in-law.
Oh my gosh.
He'd done the same thing to his wife.
Oh my gosh. It drove me crazy.
Sorry, love. Not sorry.
So fantastic. You had the fake proposal.
Yes.
How many of those did you do?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
No.
How many did you do, Maya?
I remember three.
Yeah, I think that was the number in my head, too.
I think three.
You were playing
okay,
fire.
The card one was my most
okay, that was the one
convincing.
That I, yes.
It was
yes.
The most convincing, but the other ones were like, you like kind of jokingly.
Would you even talk to him after that?
It was great.
I was so angry. I was like, Maya, don't do it. He said he was going to do it.
I was still waiting for the ring. Oh. I didn't have it.
Oh, okay.
That's another piece. It was so infuriating because I wanted to, but it wasn't coming in, and I couldn't get any word on it. Yeah.
Well, and I know I'm a control freak, so it's like I also had to tell myself, like, chill. Because I know that about myself. Like, mm-hmm. I want to know when. I want to know how. Yeah. Like,
I'm not going to tell you anything.
I was trying to figure out how he was going to do it. And I was like, I bet I can figure it out.
So how did you end up actually doing it?
Well, I had her family's help. And we had planned a trip up north. And we were going to just go up to Strawberry.
Pine.
Pine?
Mm-hmm.
Pine. And we were just going to go up there and kind of enjoy the town, look around. And I remember I was in a separate car from her. Mm. And she went into town, and I, in my car, went down to this river. And we were scouting. We were trying to find the perfect place. And we were looking around. And the plan was, as soon as we found the spot, we would set up. Her brother would get in the bushes with a camera, and then we would go and signal to the rest of the family that was with Maya that we were ready. But it took us a while to find a proper spot and to set up, because we needed the perfect spot, and it was hard to find the perfect spot, but it did take us a while. I felt bad.
Well, okay, and then in my perspective, I was like, okay, this is a little weird that he's wanting to drive with other people, whatever. Like, I was kind of salty about that, because I was like, why don't you want to be with me? And then we, in my car, we stopped at this pretty place to take photos and just, like, move around, because we've been in the car for a little bit. And it was taking a while, and at first I was like, I wonder. But then it literally took so long, and I was like, we were calling, nobody was answering.
There was no cell service. And where we were.
Hours worth. And I was like, okay, wait, are they dead? Like, at first I was like, oh, yeah, I wonder. And then I actually was like, okay, why aren't you answering? This is getting annoying. And then I was like, Maya, you might be getting annoyed and they might be dead on the side of the road. Like, so then I went into panic mode, freaking out that they had gotten to like an accident on the road. And I'm over here being upset you're not answering a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So that stressed me out. And then my dad's like, okay, we need to go backtrack and look for them or something, like, because nobody's answering.
Yeah.
And we ended up passing them on the road.
Yeah.
Like,
as they were heading off to signal them that it was time, because we had set everything up, it was all ready to go, they passed each other.
On the
freeway. Did you see each other?
My dad did, so okay. We did a U-turn. Yeah. And then I think Nick did a U-turn as well. So yeah. It was just a hot mess, but we finally had reception, so we ended up meeting at, like, this gas station. I went to the bathroom, because I always have to. And then he said that you guys were hanging out or doing something.
Some stupid excuse up, yeah.
And I was just like, I cannot believe this is happening. Like, I was so...
She was annoyed.
I was annoyed.
So, When Nick had left to go and signal, I was sitting in the parking lot of this river, where you could park to go down to it. But I was sitting waiting for them to get back, and I just remember being so nervous and thinking through what I was going to say, what I was going to do, and I was so nervous. I was just my butt was on fire. I was so scared. I couldn't sit still. I was nervous.
I thought you were chafed. I didn't understand it for a second.
Oh, I thought that was a normal thing to say. Never mind. Okay.
Sorry. Different cliches there. Okay.
But I was very nervous. And then I see their cars pulling in, and Maya gets out, and she was annoyed. I could tell she was annoyed. And in my mind, I'm like, all right, this is so romantic. And I just couldn't. I was trying to, like, hint, like, get her to, like, realize what was going on so she could, like...
She would, like, calm down.
Yeah, but...
Get excited.
But she figured it out pretty quickly.
It definitely... Well, we had to, like, walk from the parking lot, keep walking, and then I faintly, like... There were some random people, like, on the other side, and they were just looking, and I'm like, why are you looking at us? Like, what? And then... I faintly heard the music, and then everything clicked, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm such a dummy.
Yeah, her initial reaction was, what the heck? And then, and then it clicked.
Now, so what music? Did you have, like, a speaker out there, or?
Well, I took her hand, and I said, come with me. And so we went down to the river, and I had set up, I had lots of help. We set up candles along a path that we were going to walk, and it led to a little spot with a blanket, a bag of Takis, and a guitar. and I let her there, and we were on the blanket, and I played her a song, and then after that song, I proposed.
Nice. What song?
It was Luke Combs' Better Together.
Oh, wow.
And that was our favorite song.
Now, you didn't just play the song. You sang the song.
I did. Yes, I remember. Yes, I did sing.
For a lot of listeners, you don't know, this guy's a wonderful singer. Well, actually, they both are. But you serenaded her.
Yes. And then I got down on a knee and I proposed.
Which, it was really romantic that he sang to me, because when he was learning the guitar, he was very hesitant to ever play for me or sing for me.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and I had never, it was a big deal.
And I had never played that song for her.
Mm.
And I was practicing so much. I was so nervous. But it was all amazing. And Ben was in the bushes recording. And Savannah was taking pictures. Or Savannah was recording and Ben was taking pictures. It was great. But yeah. It was awesome. It was an amazing day.
So all these years, ups and downs, a breakup, get back together a few months, proposal. How long were you engaged until you were married?
We didn't want to wait.
3 months.
3 months?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You threw That's together short. A wedding in 3 months?
Yeah. Lots of amazing help. Yeah, we wouldn't have been able to pull it off on our own. It would have been much more janky.
So describe for us that wedding day. What was that like? Because, I mean, you've known each other since you were children. Well, I mean, junior high. And then you went through high school, good years, bad years, and then you're at this wedding day.
Well, I mean, planning a wedding obviously is stressful for any person who's planned a wedding, they know. Mm-hmm. But it was Jake and my last time seeing. Like, everybody was so hands-on, and we were so appreciative. But it was, like, our last time seeing kind of the final-ish look before we were going to part ways and get ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just him and I in the car, and I was like, okay, we gotta get hyped. So I turn on, what was it, Bruno Mars' Marry Me song, and we were super happy about that and just giddy. And then we turn on, because it was a really pretty drive to the place. You'd have like a long road of just like grass and mountains. Mm-hmm. It was really pretty.
Very pretty.
And then this song came on. Oh my gosh. I think it's called Just Married, but it's in that song I didn't turn on. And we ended up listening to this song called, I think it was Just Married, but it talks about how
it's not about the cake. It's not about the limousine. We didn't have a limousine, but
right.
It's not about all these superficial things. It's about you and me, best friends forever.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it talks about, like, seeing the other person.
It's about you and me, girl, talking best friends forever.
Trying to get some
loving stronger, deeper, and better.
Yeah, it was really cute.
It's like a perfect song for you guys.
Yeah, it was.
We'll be more than just married. Yeah,
more than just married. That's what it is.
Yeah, but that song came, I think we just pushed radio, and that's the song that came on.
Wow.
Bawling my eyes out. I was crying.
Yeah.
It was great.
And this was before you got, ready?
We were driving to the place that we had settled in, and we had, everything was finally put together, and it was us driving to finally look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was, okay, here's what it's going to look like tomorrow. And then after that last look, we would go back to the house. And then that was it. Following day, boom, we're getting married. Gotcha. So that was like our last drive before it was going to happen.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
What are the chances?
I know.
It was awesome.
It was cool.
Because it talks about the whole like proposal. Mm-hmm. He has a ring. He talks to the dad. And then it talks about like leading up to it, but that none of it matters because it matters. The only thing that matters
is the whole point.
That they'll be best friends forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
How sweet. That's...
And like everything just felt so right.
Yeah.
It's amazing how things can come together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So what was your first thoughts when you saw each other coming down the aisle? I mean, you're at one end, traditionally. You're entering in. And then you finally see each other after these, what, 12 hours where you're apart from the perfect moment.
It felt like every single bit of up and down that had happened over those past years was worth it. Because through everything that we went through, and it was very deep valleys, very, very, very deep sadness. And in that moment, it was every single, I wouldn't trade it away at all because it led exactly to where we were. And I just was very thankful.
Yeah. It felt like a dream come true because I dreamed about marrying Jacob when I was 11 years old. So I have in my diary my name and his last name. I was like 10 years old, so it definitely felt like a dream come true.
I remember being there. It was such a beautiful wedding. It was a forest wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, you like found the perfect tree and decorated it. I mean, your the families, both families are so artistic, you know. So it just it came out really beautiful. I just remember it was just a really great day and a really fun reception and party. It was a country wedding underneath the stars, so everything was outside. I mean, it was practically a barnyard, you know.
I wore my boots.
Yeah, she wore her boots, you know, with her wedding dress. It was really cool to see and witness that.
My favorite part was when right before we were saying our vows, because both of our dads they both like split the ceremony. So that was super special. But right before we said our vows, my dad had said like that God was here with us. And then there was like rumbling because there was definitely a storm kind of coming.
It sprinkled on us a little bit.
But it was like such a cool moment because it was like a rumbling. And I was like, oh my gosh. Whoa.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember thinking, like, wow.
Yeah, that was really fun. It was like, you said it was, and then it was like, boom, and we're like,
yeah,
like, what's going on?
So you get married. What's this? And it was roughly August time, I believe, from what I remember. So August is coming up at the end of the summer. What is that anniversary?
Our 2-year anniversary.
So this was 2 years ago. Yeah. Now, if you don't mind, you're in your early 20s, right? So you're about to celebrate your 2-year anniversary. You're in your early 20s. So you lived a lot of life. This whole story is a lot of life within 6 years?
We adulted together.
So take, if you don't mind me, these first couple of years of marriage, what have been the highlights? What have been valleys? You know, what have been challenges, even if they weren't really valleys? So the first 2 years of marriage, they said, are usually the toughest, but what were they, but that's not really true for everyone. What was it like for you?
I think because before we did get back together and then got married, all that, we were able to know what didn't work.
Okay.
And we've had countless conversations, even before we ever got married, just basically making a plan. Like, this is what went, and it was some raw conversations of what happened, how we got there, and how we never want to be there again. So I don't know. I feel like it just, because we did sit down and talk, and I mean, really talk, days and days of conversation, we were able to see what didn't work and what we were going to do as a team and as individuals. And yeah. I don't know. We had a plan.
We decided that we would never not talk again.
Because you would always communicate.
Yeah, because that was the main issue
So no matter how hurtful it could sound or no matter how raw it could be, mm-hmm. we're going
to
speak up.
We can talk it through. No matter how hard it is, we don't have to avoid confrontation. We can face it and we can get through it because we are strong enough to get through it. We're way stronger than it.
So there's no delusion that like, oh, you've never fought again since. Mm-hmm. You probably, I'm assuming you've had some good married people fight.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's definitely been like one of the biggest blessings, though, in our marriage is that mm-hmm. people don't like talking about the truth, or I feel like everybody just tries to keep things secretive, mm-hmm. and that has been like one of our biggest things. Like everything is in the open.
We'll face it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never not talk.
That's good.
Yeah.
So we've been talking for a while here, and it's just been a beautiful story. And I thank you guys for sharing it here. And I know there's probably more and little stories we couldn't get to here and there. But what would be your advice to couples who may be in the same boat? They're high school sweethearts. They're hoping to get married, or they're just fresh out of high school and they're looking at getting married. You know, what would be your advice to couples who they might be getting pressure of like, well, you're too young, go do this first, go do that first. Or maybe they don't have anyone in their life, you know, to even give them the pressure, but they know, I think this is the one, but the world tells me, you're not supposed to get married this young. Mm-hmm. What would be your advice to them? How would you guide them? How would you encourage them? What advice would you give them to don't live in delusion either? You know, mm-hmm. what would you guys say to them?
Well, I think that the most important thing for marriage is the fact that you should be marrying your best friend. You should be. If you're not, I don't think it'll work out. there need to be the fundamental, the foundations, yes, need to be solid. And that foundation is the fact that you are marrying the person that you love the most. And it needs to be real. It needs to be true. You should be able to talk about everything and anything. Mm-hmm. And talking is very important. You should be, that communication is the most important thing.
Also, having people in your life, not friends your own age, but people that you can look up to and ask questions and know that everybody makes it seem like you have to do it alone, but ask, like, find those people in your lives who have made it mm-hmm. and who are living a testimony of it, you know, like, and
people who have marriages underneath their belt.
Yeah.
Not marriages, but married years like, underneath
yeah.
their belt.
Yeah. Don't marriages. Take advice from people that, like, if you don't want what they have, in a sense. Like, find those people that you want what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And
take advice from people who actually have done it.
Yeah. And
are currently doing it.
Because everybody will try to give you advice.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jake said, having a friendship as your foundation and communicating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think one thing that also we neglected for a long time is putting God in the center of our relationship. Like, we went to church and stuff, but, like, really giving your relationship to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's been huge for us.
And that's a big thing because when we were kind of dancing around the idea of breaking up, it was very much so, for me, I'm holding on so tight
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to let go. But it got to that point where you just realize this shouldn't be mine. I need to be able to let go and give it to God, because if I'm not willing to put it in his hands, then I shouldn't have it. And it's just a trust thing. You have to be able to trust the fact that he has your best interest in mind and that it will work out exactly how he wants it to.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's well said.
Mm-hmm.
If I may ask you one last question, how important is it to be teachable? To be a person, because I know with young people, like you said, sometimes they're made to think you have to go at it alone, or you even said earlier in the story, like, oh, you're 18, you're supposed to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it to be teachable, to be able to make a relationship last, regardless if you're 17, 18, or you're 48, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's super important in the sense that you can't be selfish in a relationship. If you're doing life with somebody else, I mean, you have to think about that someone else and put that person above your own needs at times. And I just think that, I don't know. I think that you can't be selfish in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you go.
You have to be willing to ask questions and reflect on the answer. Even if you don't like it. Like, I had to realize and recognize when in areas where I was being selfish. If I'm given advice that I don't like, what do I do with it? Do I just keep doing what I've always done, or do I reflect on it? And you, like Maya said a little bit ago, you will be given advice from everybody, but you have to take advice that is God-given.
From the right people.
From the right people. And Maya said exactly what you should be listening to is, if the person giving you advice, if they have what you want, that's probably good advice. That's probably God-given advice. But if it's not, then you need to be able to recognize that it is and handle it as you should.
The way I think of it is, like, is whatever it is that we're arguing, like, I stood on the altar and I made vows. Is it worth losing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, am I going to let my own pride get in the way of ruining one of the best things in my life? Because I think it's so easy for us to get in our own way,
mm-hmm.
out of anger and just in the thick of it. But, like, we have a sign on, like, above our bed. And we have, like, we have two. One is the cross that we, like, did together on our wedding day. The mm-hmm. three strands are not easily broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the 1 Corinthians. I can't remember, but, like, love is...
13.
13, yeah. And I read all of those things. Actually, I end up... because we have most of our talks on our bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read that so many times. And it just brings, like, my attention back to what's important. And is whatever we're arguing about or my stance really that important that I'm going to let it get in the way of those vows that I made?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Because sometimes it's like, do you want to be right or do you want to have a relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I think 1 Corinthians 13 kind of is like, no, it's... love is patient. Love is kind. Love is, you know, it doesn't ever say love has to be right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
That's a great tactic to kind of be able to carry through as you go through many years of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thank you guys so much for sharing your story. I was so looking forward to this. And honestly, it's going to be a two-parter. So this is second part, everyone, here, you know, so the last one, I'm going to probably left you on a cliffhanger. But thank you guys. And, you know, we're going to be praying for you. We wish you all the best. And, you know, I'm hoping, you know, if we're able to still be doing this podcast years from now, bring you back and be like, all right, it's been 10 years, you know, it's been 20 years, how things are going, you know, and just hearing how you guys are continuously moving on. And for those of you who are listening, you know, wherever you are at on this planet, if you are a young person and you are in love, because I truly believe young people can fall in love, you know, I hope this story gave you hope, even when it's looking bleak. And I hope you're hearing some of their advice about, you know, not being selfish and finding people who can help you through it. But, you know, always remember, you know, get help through relationships. And the biggest thing you can do is make that person a priority. So if you are young and in love and you want this to succeed, be teachable, make that other person a priority. And, you know, I think like what Jacob said, don't give up. Remember what Maya said, love that person. Mm. Remember what love is. So thank you all. And Maya and Jake, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I can't thank you enough. Yeah.
If you enjoy this podcast, consider supporting the show by clicking the donation link in the description. If you are considering making the next step in your relationship by committing yourself to marriage, we encourage you to seek out professional or religious premarital for guidance, or check out hmpremarital.com for premarital coaching by yours truly. And always remember, love is not just of the heart, but also of the mind.